Take your Bible and turn with me, if you will, tonight to 1 Peter chapter 4, or, yeah, 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. You know the broad context of the book of 1 Peter? It's simply this. It's all about Christians that are suffering persecution for Christ. We don't know a whole lot about that. But you know, when you're suffering, it's easy to be disrespectful. If you're mean to an animal, you might get bitten. That's the natural response to being hurt. But believers aren't animals. And believers can have a different response than other people do to suffering. In fact, it's a very important part of our testimony how we respond to suffering. These verses that I want to turn your attention to in 1 Peter chapter 3, the 8th through the 12th verse, these verses are really part of a larger context that actually begins in chapter 2 and verse 13 and are all about having respect for those that are in authority over us, whether it be political officials, whether it be a master, whether it be a husband, or even respect for a wife. In fact, in chapter 2 and verse 17, we read, honor all men, or respect all, everyone, if you will. Respect everyone is what he's saying there. And then love the brethren, love the brotherhood, love believers. In this section, verses 8 to 12 of chapter 3, we're called to love the brethren. And verses 8 and 9 tell us how we're to love one another. And then verses 9 to 12 tell us why we should love one another. And so I'd like to begin with verses 8 and 9. I want to read them, then pause and have a word of prayer. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. Just going to pause there and pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for leading us to this passage tonight in this little letter of 1 Peter. Lord, we want to hear all about what it means to love the brethren, to love our brothers and sisters in the Lord, as that's what Peter is talking about, to have respect one for another. And so would you use this to minister to our hearts individually and then corporately, that, Lord, you might draw us to yourself and together with one another. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you want to do. And we surrender to you tonight and pray, Holy Spirit of God, have your will and your way in each one of our lives and show us the Lord in his glory through this, in Jesus' name, amen. So, having just dealt with the necessity of respect in a physical family, that's the first seven verses of the third chapter. It's how a saved wife should respect her unsaved husband. And then in verse 7, how a believing husband ought to respect his wife in the home. So having just dealt with the necessary respect in a physical family between a husband and wife, now when we pick it up in verse 8, here is the need to respect those in the spiritual family, our brothers and sisters in the Lord. How do you do that? Well, he tells us a number of things. First of all, he says, be ye all of one mind. See that in verse 8? Be like-minded is what he means. It means to think the same way, have the same way of thinking. Now, how can we have the same way of thinking? By getting our thinking from the same source. And the source is what is called the sword of the Spirit. The scriptures are called the sword of the Spirit. That should be our source. And the Spirit of God, of course, whose sword this is, who wrote this book, is also the source through which we get the same mind, through which we think the same way. We think God's thoughts. And how does that happen? Well, it doesn't happen by osmosis. It doesn't happen automatically. It happens when we deliberately expose ourselves to the sword of the Spirit and depend upon the Spirit of God to speak to us and to teach us. Now, I hope that's a daily practice for you. And you know, in the new year, often people get a Bible reading schedule, and they try to read, if not through the whole Bible, sections of the Bible throughout the year. I used to put them out, but they're so readily available on Bible apps on your smartphone. I mean, if you really want to read the Bible consistently, following a schedule, you can get it. It's available. But I recommend that so that we can have the same way of thinking, so that we can be like-minded, so that we can be of one mind, that we read the scripture and we let the scripture feed our souls, and then we also heed what we read and what we feed on. We heed it. To heed is to put it into application, to not just know it in your head, not just think, wow, that's great advice, or that's good counsel, or that's great truth, but live by it. Like-minded. You want to respect one another? You got to think the way God thinks. We got to be on the same page. We have to be like-minded, have the same way of thinking, because we get our thinking from the same source, from the sword of the Spirit of God himself. Then look at the next phrase there. And he says, having compassion one of another. Having compassion. That word compassion means literally to suffer with. To suffer alongside of one another for Jesus is what it's referring to. To be of one mind is to have the same way of thinking. To have compassion one of another is to have the same feeling. By that I mean this. We get our English word sympathy from that word that is translated compassion in that verse. In other words, we sympathize with our brothers and sisters that are suffering, and specifically for the Lord. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 26 that if one member of the body suffers, the whole body suffers. And we are called the body of Christ. And each one of us represents a different part of the body of Christ. When one part of that body suffers, the whole body suffers. And Paul says it in different words in Romans 12, where he also talks of the church as a body. And he says, that we are to weep with them that weep. And so there is, how do you have respect for your brothers and sisters in the local church, your brothers and sisters in the Lord? Well, you're like-minded and you're sympathetic. But then he says, and love as brethren. See the next phrase, verse, that word love as brethren. Here's the original word. Philadelphus, does that ring a bell? Brotherly love. is really what the word means. It's a compound word in the original language. It means that we're to love one another in a local church like this as we love our brothers and sisters in our physical family. Now, I know there's sibling rivalries, and I know that brothers and sisters in physical families don't always get along. I understand that. But the gist is that we ought, just as we naturally love our own siblings, we ought to love our brothers and sisters in the Lord in the same way. And how is that expressed? It's expressed by caring for one another. If you know that a brother or sister in the Lord has a specific care need or something that you can step up and help them with, you do so. You care about them. You care. It's you're not focused on just yourself and your needs. You care for the family. You care for the members of the family, just as you would care for your flesh and blood, brothers and sisters. In fact, isn't it often true that believers are often closer than our own flesh and blood siblings? Because we share this like-mindedness. And so it's expressed in care and help, brotherly love. And then look at the next phrase, be pitiful. Now that's almost, almost makes us laugh. You listen to this. The actual word translated pitiful there is means good spleened. You know, every human body has a spleen in it, unless yours has been removed for some reason. Good spleened. Isn't that odd? You know why? Because ancient people identified the internal organs of the human body as the source of the deepest feelings. This same word, pitiful, is translated tenderhearted in Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, pitiful. That's the same word that we have here. And it's a feeling toward other people. You're to be tenderhearted. You have a tenderhearted feeling toward others. You're not harsh in your dealing with them. You're not critical and judgmental about them. You're tenderhearted towards them. And then the next, look, this is Peter telling us how we can have respect in a local church as a family of God. The next thing he says here is be courteous. I said that simply means friendly. Literally, it's a friendly mindset. The word that we use for friendly comes from that word courteous. A friendly mindset. It's treating other people with kindness. And you know, to do that, it requires humility to be courteous to people, to be respectful to people, to not be rude with people. When we're rude and discourteous with others, it's an evidence of our prideful heart, because we're putting ourselves above them. We think we're better than them. Friendly, be courteous, a friendly mindset, treating other people with kindness. And then look at the next verse. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing is, I guess, yelling at people, abusive words. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing. This is forgiving. How can we respect one another? How can we have respect? By being forgiving. Instead of getting back at a brother or sister for wrong things that they do or say to us or about us, we let it go. We let it go. We let them off the hook, even though they don't ask to be left off the hook. In fact, listen to this in the next chapter. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Charity covers the multitude of sins. It enables us to let it go, to forgive. Okay, so that's how to have respect in a church family, in a local church like this. But why? Well, look with me at verse 9 again. Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that you should receive a blessing. You know, we're living in a day when nothing seems to be considered sacred. And society is just full of disrespect. But that is not to be characteristic of us believers. We're to have respect for everyone. In fact, in that ninth verse, we are commanded. This is what we're called to. That word called means to be issued a summons. We are issued a summons by God to be respectful. It's commanded. And not only that, that you are also called to inherit a blessing. This is why we have respect, not just because it's commanded, but because we are to be the heir of God speaking well of us. That's what it means to bless someone. It means to have that person speak well of you. And here it is God that's speaking well of us, and we're the heir of that. We inherit that. It's how God rewards you when you treat other people with respect. God rewards you by making you an heir of his blessing. He speaks well of you. You know, I'm often reminded that myself, that what I meet out to others will be measured back to me in like kind. So why? It's commanded. And we are the heirs of God's blessing. He speaks well of us. That's how he rewards us. Now, verses 10 to 12, which is where we're going to end with, are actually a quote from David in Psalm 34, verses 12 to 16. And if you know anything about Psalm 34, there's a title on that psalm. There isn't on every psalm, but on Psalm 34, there's a title, and it says, this was a psalm that David wrote when he was pretending to be insane to protect his life in that Philistine city with King, was it Ahimelech, I think? And so when David was hiding from Saul among the Philistines and he was feeling like his life was in danger from this Philistine king, he gives principles to his men. You remember he had a bunch of rowdies that were in exile with him. There was a couple hundred, 400 at one time, 400 men. These were the outcasts. And so he gives them principles to live by. And so that's what Peter is repeating to us in verses 10 to 12. Notice, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile, that's deceit. Let him eschew or shun or stay away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue or run after it, pursue it. Why? For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So why have respect? Why should we be respectful to one another? Well, it's commanded. That's what we're called to. And we're the heirs of God speaking well of us. As a result, he rewards us if we treat others with respect, with his blessing. But also in verses 10 and 11, the reason why is it's all about life. You want a happy, long life? Most of us do. I mean, that's natural. You want a happy, long life? Well, in verses 10 and 11, he says, if you want a happy, long life, then watch your mouth. Guard your lips. Hold your tongue from bad-mouthing other people. And from speaking deceptively. And then not only guard your lips, but he's basically saying, guard your life. Stay away from doing others wrong. Instead, do them good. Start being a peacemaker. And then always pursue peace. Why should we have respect? Commanded. God wants to bless us. You want a happy, long life. But also in verse 12, it's a matter of fellowship with God. You see that? God's in fellowship. Basically, what he's saying, that 12th verse, God is in fellowship with believers that are right with him. Just as a husband's prayers are hindered if he doesn't treat his wife right, see that in 3 verse 7? Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them, meaning the wife, according to knowledge, giving honor, respect unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. On the same way, if you don't treat your brothers and sisters in the Lord right, your prayers are going to be hindered because you're not going to be right with God. You're not going to be in fellowship with him because you haven't treated your brothers and sisters in the Lord right. So I want to close by just reminding you and me that we have to be careful about the way we talk and the way that we treat one another as brothers and sisters in the Lord. And instead of stirring up trouble, we need to seek to be peacemakers by overlooking offenses and meekly trying to mend any hurts. Realizing this, our battle isn't with one another. We do not wrestle with flesh and blood, the Bible tells us. It's a spiritual battle, and when there is offenses and when there is difficulties in a spiritual family like this, guess who's behind it? Yeah. It's a real trait of the enemy. That's what he does. So I want to call you and myself to be, first of all, diplomats. You know what a diplomat is? A diplomat is a governmental employee that seeks to keep peace between their nation and other nations. They seek to keep peace and keep their nation out of conflict and war. Well, in the spiritual sense, let's be diplomats, all right? Let's try to be peacemakers as spiritual diplomats. Seek to keep the peace between you and your brothers and sisters, and then seek to keep the peace between brothers and sisters that might be at odds with one another. Try to avoid conflict and war among the saints. Not only would I ask us to practice diplomacy, but also to be techs, to be technicians. And this is what I mean. Did you know that both in the police force and also in the military, there are special explosive experts, and their job is simply to find and disable and defeat any explosive device. And by doing that, they save lives. I want us to be technicians that diffuse explosive situations that would cause much harm in a spiritual family like this, that would blow up and cause much spiritual injury. Let's be EODs. That's the nomenclature in the military for these experts that diffuse explosives. And then sometimes it happens. And I want to call us to also be medics. To be medics that turn their attention, that come by after maybe an explosion has gone off and help the wounded that have survived, to help bind up their wounds and pour in the the medication that is need, the spiritual medicine that they need to heal and to survive. All of us are potential peacemakers. We are to seek to keep the peace. We are to make for peace. That's what Peter's talking to us about in a time when there is no peace, when the church is under attack, when believers, look, we haven't faced persecution for Christ like other brothers and sisters have, but we will. We will. Those younger ones that are here, you're going to face it. I fear, in a sense, for my grandchildren especially. I'm going to face real persecution. It's on the horizon. It's already started. It's going to build. It's going to get stronger. We're going to need one another more than ever. And so we can't be at war with one another when the world and society in the culture is coming after us to make war with us. This is what was happening in 1 Peter among those believers. And this is good stuff for us today. So have respect. Let's